It is such a joy to worship with you this morning. I'm grateful beyond words for the ways that you, as the body of Christ in this place, have stewarded the beauty of the gospel, have kept faith. Thank you for being who you are in this place, and for all that you offer to this community. I give thanks. So, how do we talk about faith with each other, if we talk about faith? And by faith, I mean an aliveness toward God, an attentiveness to the animating spirit, a watchfulness for how Jesus is among us, walking with us, present to us every day. How do we describe to each other our experiences of God, or our lack of experience? If talking about faith is uncomfortable or simply doesn't occur, why is that? What is the character of the conversations we have when we're with our families? When we're with friends? When we're talking with neighbors? These are questions I'd like to tease open just a bit with you this morning. Three stories illustrate some of the dynamics in play. Several weeks ago, I was invited to an interview with an Irish Catholic host of The God Show, a radio and internet talk show based in Arizona. The host said when he read the subtitle of my book, Tongue Tied, Learning the Lost Art of Talking About Faith, he knew it was exactly what they were looking for on their show. We had a delightful hour-long conversation. There are three topics it's considered very impolite to talk about at the dinner table, he said. Politics, sex, and religion. At my house, he said, if we start talking about religion, it turns into a pie fight. It's just not cool to talk about faith, he said. It brings out so much anger. An argument about who's right and who's wrong, it's just easier to avoid talking about faith altogether. Another story. A news reporter interviewing an Amish man asked whether he, the Amish man, was a Christian. The Amish man paused, and then, rather than answering directly, pointed to his neighbor's house and said, the answer to your question can be found by asking my neighbor. In other words, the real evidence of my faith is in how I live, not in what I say, so why talk about it? Another illustration. In a conversation with a friend several years ago, he said to me how he noticed people readily talk about sports, their jobs, politics, the latest movies they've seen, the weather, favorite recipes, you name it. But when it comes to talking about faith, even fellow Christians rarely bring it up, unless they're in specific church settings. Why is that? He asked. My curiosity was immediately hooked. I've thought a lot throughout my adult years about how we pass on faith, how we learn the language and practices of faith. His pointed question sent me into a deeper reflection yet again, which emerged in the book project. Why are so many of us reluctant to talk about our experience, or lack thereof, of God? Our beliefs or questions about God? What is rendering us incapable, embarrassed, or reluctant? Now, frankly, I don't have a lot of answers, as the topic is enormously complex, but I have some hunches, and I enjoy thinking out loud together about how we might find greater freedom and honesty in conversation with each other about our longing to know God, disappointment with God, confusion about God, experience with and of God. Now, admittedly, some of us don't have any problem with talking about faith. But for most of us who do, thinking together about what makes us reluctant seems like a good place to begin the conversation. What is it that is tying up our tongues? Perhaps we're reluctant because we found the way other people talk about faith to be sort of glib, out of touch with reality, or with a kind of pious veneer that doesn't connect with real moral issues of the day, like racism, sexism, poverty, climate change. Kind of a virtual artificiality to the way we talk about faith. And so, you know, doesn't ring true. Or perhaps we find it difficult to talk about faith because God is incomprehensible, beyond understanding. So who are we to talk about someone who in many respects is unknowable? When you reflect on the age of the earth, the eons, ever since way back when the Big Bang and all the different populations of dinosaurs and rocks and oceans coming and going. Or if you think about the immensity of the cosmos, you know, black holes eating up neutron stars. Or perhaps the beauty of complex life forms. I mean, doesn't it blow you away? God is incomprehensible. So how can we talk about God? And if it's not about the complexity and immensity, perhaps it's about suffering, massive human suffering today and throughout human history, or my own personal suffering. All of this renders us reluctant to talk about God because we frankly don't understand God or what God is up to in the world. Or perhaps we're reluctant to talk about God because so much God talk has made me or you feel unworthy because of our sexuality, our gender, our ethnicity. Faith talk has been so hurtful, hateful, hypocritical. We want nothing to do with it. It's a minefield. Why even go there? Or perhaps faith has been presented as a package deal, a codified system of beliefs with strict expectations for what you can and can't say about God and who God is and what God isn't. What is right, what is wrong, and don't you dare suggest otherwise. Perhaps that's why we go mum. Or perhaps we just haven't heard talk about faith modeled very well. We haven't heard friends or family members talk about God in ways that feel trustworthy, down to earth, embodied, honest, real. So after we get in touch with what's tying our tongues, perhaps we can think together about why talking about faith matters and how we might learn ways to talk that are winsome and honest and down to earth. The scriptures we heard so beautifully read earlier highlight some of the reasons for why talking about faith matters. From Proverbs, we hear the voice of woman wisdom. Woman wisdom, says the writer of Proverbs, takes her stand on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, and at the city gates. She calls out and raises her voice, "Oh, my people, and to everyone who lives, I speak noble things, and from my lips come what is right. For my mouth utters truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. The guidance I provide is more valuable than silver and gold. The instruction and knowledge I provide is better than jewels. Nothing else you desire or might seek after can compare with the value of wisdom." Learning the art of talking about faith, my friends, is all about learning what it is to share wisdom with each other. Lord knows we need wisdom to make it through these perilous, polarized times. That's why we must talk about faith. The wisdom that we learn from everyday life and how we and others have learned to make it through hard times. Wisdom from the scriptures, from the wisdom tradition, wisdom from scientific discoveries, wisdom from other cultures about what contributes to human flourishing. Talking about faith is learning to share wisdom with each other. What we have learned by surviving and even learning to thrive through hard times. In the Ephesians scripture, we read from the Apostle Paul, who even while sitting in prison speaks passionately about faith. Paul begs his readers to lead a life worthy of our calling as followers of Christ, to build up the body of Christ until we all grow into the full stature of Christ. Why? Why? So that We are no longer tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery and craftiness and deceitful scheming. What is the alternative to being manipulated by conspiracy theorists and hate-filled scaremongers of the world? It is, Paul says, learning to speak the truth in love. By learning to do so, he says, we will all grow up in every way into Christ. It is as we learn to speak the truth in love that every part of the body finds ways to work together to promote the whole body's growth in love. So in the company of Woman Wisdom, I offer several principles that have guided me to be more truthful and loving when I talk about faith. Briefly, I'll mention them. They are discussed at more length in the book. First, to speak about faith truthfully, we must always first listen. Listen to each other, listen to our own bodies, listen to the wisdom tradition, to the scriptures, listen to voices insisting that Black lives matter. Listen to the birds, the trees, rivers, and oceans crying out. Listen for the still, small voice of the Spirit. By listening first, we learn to pay attention to how God is present everywhere and in everyone. Our listening becomes a prayer, which is really about opening up all our senses to sense how God is present everywhere. How everything we receive is gift, and we can learn to say thank you, thank you, thank you, as an unending prayer. First, listen. Secondly, learn to submit to the mystery of it all. Any of us who presume to know God or what God thinks or says must honestly acknowledge how little we really know about God. In many respects, as I said, God is incomprehensible. None of us is an expert. Being humble before the mystery of God frees me both to speak boldly about what I have seen and heard and believe about God, and to readily acknowledge what I don't know and wonder about. The gift of curiosity and freedom to wonder is the oxygen for conversations about faith. Learn to submit to the mystery of it all. Talking about faith, thirdly, is at its core about telling a love story. Talking about what it is we love. Faith is, after all, about learning to trust that one is loved, and to vulnerably offer love in return. We get distracted about correct belief systems, membership guidelines, who's right and wrong. We forget that faith at its core is all about a love attachment to the God made known to us in Jesus Christ. A relationship that gives us courage to face down our fears, to take risks, to offer healing and hope, whether on the front line as healthcare workers serving COVID patients or speaking out against police brutality, or simply getting up to do our job and care for our family day after day. Talking about faith is, at its core, talking about a love attachment, a love story. We must learn, fourthly, to tell each other stories, whether around our dinner tables or in the context of worship, about where we believe God has shown up in our lives. Pastor Lillian Daniel, in a book, wrote about how her congregation intentionally cultivated the practice of testimony. The United Church of Christ congregation, she writes, in our mainline Protestant church, we define testimony very simply. It was to be offered as a spoken word in the context of worship, and it could not omit God. That may sound like a ludicrous caveat for the church, she said, but it is my experience that many church members have great difficulty talking about their faith. I began to notice, Pastor Daniel writes, that the stories people told were often about some sort of transformation, like I used to feel or be or behave this way, but now something has changed. Furthermore, she says, over and over again, people told me that testimony was opening up our church, not only creating excitement in worship, but in the coffee hour discussions as well. We were making new friends, hearing new stories of faith, being woken up by the word, Pastor Daniel said. Learning to talk about faith is learning to tell each other our stories about where we think God showed up or where God disappointed us or where we sensed something transcendent. In conclusion, rather than faith talk being something that is only done in private between consenting adults, to quote sociologist Peter Berger, we can learn to talk about faith with each other in ways that are truthful and loving. We can salt our talk with tears and astonishment. We can name the grief and the joy of what we long for, believe in, and love. We can describe the scriptures that have moved us and prayer that has awakened us. When we vulnerably speak what we know of God from the wisdom tradition and from our own bodies, minds, and spirits, we will provide our children with anchoring language to resist manipulation by the superstitious scaremongers of the world. We will give ourselves language with the gravitas needed to repent of family, community, and earth-destroying patterns of living. We will regain moral resolve to help save the world for our children and grandchildren. So we are no longer tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery and craftiness in deceitful scheming, but instead speak the truth in love to each other and so grow up in every way into the full stature of Christ. May it be so. Amen.